This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to stand, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have. I'm not going to preach long. I'm not going to preach long today. I remember when Savannah Abigail was a little girl, she had a little girl who stayed all night with her one night. She didn't go to church. And I got in a big way preaching, and then I said, in conclusion. And that little girl said, what does it mean when your daddy says, in conclusion? And Savannah said, absolutely nothing. But I'm not going to preach long. Look what the Bible says. Now these things were done. The princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to the abomination, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Termites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and I just pulled out and plucked out my hair on my head of my beard. I just poured out my hair and sat down astounded. I want to talk to you about when you feel like pulling your hair out. When you feel like pulling your hair out. A little six-year-old boy runs to his mother. He says, Mama, Sissy pulled my hair. And she said, oh, son. She said, Sissy's so little. She doesn't know anything about it. She doesn't know that it hurts. About 3 minutes later, the mother heard a scream, and she walked into the room, and Sissy was in the corner screaming to the top of her lungs. And the little boy said, Mommy, she knows it hurts now. Well, you know, folks, we've all reached a point that we probably wanted to pull our hair out. Have you ever been around somebody and just being around them just a little while irks you? Have you ever been around that person that would just give an aspirin a headache? Amen? I mean, just a little while and you just literally want to pull your hair out. You've been around those people that just drain the energy out of you. You just, goodness gracious, just want to pull your hair out. Now, let me give you some background to this story. The children of Israel had been in bondage. They had actually been in bondage for 70 years. But God, being God, he orchestrated things so that the Medes and the Persians overtook Babylon, and the Jewish people were allowed to go back into their land. And they went under the leadership of a man by the name of Zerubbabel. And there was a priest by the name of Ezra. And they go back into the land and they rebuild the temple and they worship God. Because God was so good. Let me say something just as an injection. God's been so good to America. God's been so good to America. You say, why do you think, Pastor, God's been so good to America? I think it was because our forefathers came here searching for God rather than for gold. I think it's because they came here searching for God. You know, the Pilgrims said in the Mayflower Compact that they came to this land, ladies and gentlemen, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Not a lot of polytheism in that. The glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. So this nation was founded as a Christian nation. A Christian nation. And we should never apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for being a Christian nation. Who was our greatest president? Well, if you really study history, I believe unequivocally, it was a man by the name of George Washington. I don't believe there would have ever been an America without God providentially raising that man up. A wonderful man. And sometimes people will say, I'm a descendant of George Washington. Well, I know you're a liar because he never had children. But God raised that man up. And George Washington said, we can't govern without God in the Bible. We can't govern without God in the Bible. I was recently in Philadelphia. And when the Continental Congress would meet in Philadelphia, the temporary headquarters for our nation, somebody asked, which one is George Washington? They said, oh, that's the tall man that every time Congress begins, gets on his knees and prays. That's where our roots go back to. A godly man by the name of George Washington. Now, God was also good to Israel. God had allowed them to come back into the land. God had allowed them to rebuild the temple. God was allowing them to worship. And by the way, folks, what a privilege to be able to worship God today. What a privilege. And let me tell you something. I say thank you to every man or woman who have served or are serving because we have the freedom of worship because people who served. They're back in the land, but they do something. The leaders and their children start marrying pagans. They start marrying people of the Amorites and the Moabites and the Perizzites. These people worship pagan gods. And by the way, folks, if you're a Christian, you say, Pastor, who should I be dating? You ought to be dating a Christian. If you're a Christian, you ought to be dating a Christian. Because, see, if you marry an unbeliever, right off the bat, you get the devil for a father-in-law. No. A Christian should marry. And by the way, if a Christian ought to marry a Christian, it only makes sense that you ought to start out dating a Christian. No, I don't believe in this missionary dating. That's not biblical. Oh, I'll reach him for Christ. No, if you're not awful careful, he'll pull you down. He'll pull you down. You say, well, he told me after we get married, he'll start going to church with me. Honey, if he won't go before you got married, he sure won't go after you do. I'm just giving you some sound advice. Christians ought to date Christians. But anyway, that's another message for another time. So what happened? They started marrying the pagans. Started marrying the pagans. And Ezra said, when I heard that, I just wanted to pull my hair out. Not did I just want to pull my hair out, but I started pulling my hair out. Now, here's what I want to say. I want to say something to you. What do you do, Pastor, when you feel like pulling your hair out? What do you do when things are not working out right? What do you do when you get to your wit's end? Let me make three statements. Statement number one, God brings us to the point of desperation. God brings us to the point of desperation. Now, what I mean by that, folks, when Ezra got to the point that he wanted to pull his hair out, if you look at verse 5 and 6 What did he do? He started praying. When he reached the point, he was pulling his hair out. What did he do? He started praying. Now, I want to give you two quotes. These are worth writing down if you have a pencil, ink pen, mascara, or lipstick. These are worth writing down. A.W. Tozer said, don't talk. He said, talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. Talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. How many times, folks, if we ran out and said, oh, I'm going to give them a word. I'm going to give them an earful. I'm going to tell that son-in-law something. I'm going to tell him something. Now, here's what I say to you. Ezra, when he heard this report, he could have ran out and said, no, you get them in here. I'm going to talk to them about what they're doing. I'm going to tell them that this is an abomination. But he didn't do that. He started praying. I'll tell you another quote that's worth coming to church for today. Andrew Murray said, when I work, I work. But when I pray, God works. When I work, I work. But when I pray, God works. Corey Ten Boom said, you'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. You'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Many years ago, 25 years ago, I heard Charles Stanley say this. As Charles would say, listen. Charles said, if you live long enough, everything and everybody that you put your confidence in will fail you. He said, if you live long enough, everything and everybody that you put your confidence will fail you or disappoint you or pass. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God ultimately is going to allow it to happen because he wants you to look to him. God ultimately is going to allow it to happen because he wants to be your source. He wants to be the source. So God brings us to a point of desperation because, look, God wants to bring you to a point of dependence. God wants to bring you to a point of dependence. You say, why the desperation, Pastor? I'll tell you the desperation. Because God wants you to depend upon him. God wants to be the source. You know how your marriage can make it? When you depend upon God and your mate depends upon God. When we totally, ladies and gentlemen, depend upon God. Depend upon God. Early this morning, God said to me, practice what you preach. Just practice what you preach. I bring you to the point of desperation because I want to bring you to a point of dependence. I want you to depend upon me. Joni Erickson Tada was a beautiful young lady that dove into the Chesapeake Bay and was paralyzed. A quad. A wonderful Christian lady. This is what Joni Erickson Tada said. She said, when life is rosy, we may slide by with knowing about Jesus, with imitating him and quoting him and speaking of him. But only in suffering will we know Jesus. We learn things about God in suffering. The that we can't learn any other way. And I know, folks, it's not the happy clappy preaching. But let me tell you something. The life that pleases God is often painful and difficult. And God brings us to desperation because God wants us to depend upon Him. He wants to be the source for everything. He wants to be the source for your ministry, for your marriage, for everything. God wants to be the source. And let me say this. You can depend upon God. You can depend upon God because He's faithful whether we are or not. You know, I try not to, you know, I try not to sometimes share things. But I will say this. I'll say this especially to parents today. You know, sometimes with your children, you can talk to your children, but they won't listen. If you've ever experienced that, say amen.
Amen.
I think that goes with every parent. But I can tell you this, even in my personal life, I went through a difficult situation. And I talked, and it was like nobody was listening. Nobody was listening. But Barbara and I started praying. I'll just say it like this. God moved that turkey out. No. When they won't listen, folks, let me tell you something. But they can't stop you from praying. they can't stop you from praying. And by the way, prayer works. Amen. Prayer works. And see, God brings us to the point of desperation because He wants to bring us to the point of dependence. Let me say this, folks. Today is probably pretty special for me for a lot of reasons. I'm starting my 30th year as a pastor of the church. I mean, man, I was 7 years old and they elected me. But you know, in the early days of my ministry, let me tell you something. I won't get into the story, but I had a wife that was so sick, and she had seizures, and she would have 8 or 10 seizures a day. Mayo Clinic said she had a scar on her brain. And I don't mean this is wrong, folks. I'm not trying to tell you who can tell the saddest story, but she knows it's true. And the medical bills would just pile up, and I couldn't pay them. And I'd pay to this hospital $10 a month. And I'd pay to this hospital $10 a month. And I knew I couldn't pay them. And one day, Barbara said to me, God has touched me. I said, no. The Mayo Clinic has said it will always be. She said, no. No, I know that God has touched me, Betty. And I was hiring people to stay with Barbara, and finally I said to Barbara, Barbara, I don't know. I know how to get you out of those seizures, and I know how to put my hand over your nose and mouth faster than anybody. I said, so you don't have to take the medicine on the weekend. Keep taking the Dilantin. Keep taking the phenobarbital. But on the weekend you don't have to because I can be there. And I told the Lord that. And the Lord said, son, what can you do that I can't do? What can you do that I can't do? tell me the end of that story. I'll tell you the end of the story. Over 30 years ago, and never had a seizure since. Over 30 years ago, never had a seizure since. I'll tell you the story. Here, get this down. But listen, what was God doing? I'll tell you what God was doing. God knew that he was going to send me down here, and God knew that I needed to do something big in this young man's life, because I've brought him and his little wife to desperation, because I wanted to bring them to dependence. I brought them to desperation because I'm going to bring them to dependence. And folks, what you're going through right now, God's just trying to build faith in your heart. God's just trying to build confidence in your heart. God's just trying to build affirmation in your heart that he'll be enough. See, God brings us to the point of desperation because he wants to bring you to the point of dependence. Quit depending upon anything and everything else and start depending upon God. Depend upon God. I remember the first time walking into this building, Barbara looking to me and saying, "How are you ever going to pay for this? How are you ever going to fill this?" And I started praying. And I said, "God, how am I going to pay for it?" Listen, literally, folks, I went to the banks trying to get money to build this building. And this is what the bankers said to me: "You don't have the clientele of people to build a building like you're trying to build. You don't have the clientele of people to build that kind of building." I said, "How am I going to pay for it? How am I going to fill it?" And I was praying right over there in that small sanctuary. And God said to me, "How are you going to fill it? You didn't fill the one you're in now." They said, "Oh, 30-year loan." What happened, Pastor Benny? 3 years and 9 months, we paid the jammy off because of God. This is what I know. God brings you to a point of desperation because he wants to bring you to a point of dependence, because God wants to bring you to a point of deliverance. Now wait, I'm done. But this guy starts praying. Doesn't go out run his mouth. Doesn't go out saying, "You ought to do this and you shouldn't have done that. Let me tell you this." No. I mean, he had one hand in the air, but he was praying. And I know what some of you are thinking. "I just wish I had some hair to pull out." I mean, I know what you're thinking. But let me tell you something. If that's you, I want to say something to you. Marble furniture don't come with a cheap top. Amen? Amen. This brother on the front row said amen. Yeah. While he was praying, what happened? Let's look. Now, when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping, and cast himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very congregation of men and women and children, and the people wept sore. While he was praying, God spoke to their hearts, and the people repented. While he was praying. Folks, get this verse right here, because this verse would make a backslid Presbyterian shout. Get this verse right here in Isaiah. Look what it says. "I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I'll go ahead and answer their prayers." While they're talking, I'll go ahead and answer their prayers. Here's what I say. God brings you to a point of desperation. There's a reason for it. Because he wants to bring you to a point of dependence. Because he wants to bring you to a point of deliverance. God's going to see you through. God's going to see you through. God's going to see you through. I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. Amen. God's going to see you through.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.